current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Michigan paddler Doc Fletcher is known throughout our region for his books and lectures on canoeing and kayaking Michigan's waterways and waterways throughout the Midwest. Doc Fletcher's new book combines two of his passions, paddling and baseball. Paddling and pastimes, six Midwest cities, the rivers that made them, the baseball teams that entertained them, is the title of Doc's newest work. We're joined by Doc Fletcher here.
Hey, Mark.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too. Yes, as passions, they run a tie for second right after my passion for Maggie. So,
oh,
yes.
Impressive.
Yes, yes. And I don't even think she can hear this broadcast. So.
What was the inspiration for the, well, I, obviously your passion, you just had a chance to write about a couple of your passions as opposed to just one.
Yeah, I've been looking for an excuse to get baseball into my books for a long time. And the more I thought about it, you get out on a river and there's a peacefulness and you're not on the clock and it's a dreamy place to be. And I'm thinking, well, it's just like a ballpark. And if I could have put myself back 100 years on either a river or a ballpark, there's a timeless happiness that both have. You could be at a ball game in 1915 and you'd hear the same noise in the field and the crowd in the stands and the vendors shouting. And a river's a lot like that too. I always felt like a river. When I get on the water, it's a chance to reach out and touch history. There's a minimal riverside development as you're going down most of Michigan's rivers. You feel like you're experiencing something that the original residents of the state experienced when they went down the river. And so I saw a lot of parallels, neither on the clock, the peacefulness of both, and more than anything, an excuse to get into ballparks around the Midwest, I suppose. So.
Well, these were pretty big cities you visited this time around and experienced up close. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, yep. Detroit, Chicago, yeah. Milwaukee, and Minneapolis.
Yeah, we're not talking about Holland, Michigan and the small towns anymore. Most people think you're going down a river, you have this view of you going down a narrow and shallow riverbed, maybe 15 feet wide through a forest of oak and maple
Indeed.
And birch. But I was inspired by a trip I took in 2009 down the last 5 miles of the Rouge River into the Detroit River, a trip I never thought I would take. And within a half an hour going down the Rouge, I'm going by Henry Ford's Rouge Assembly Plant. And it just seemed so amazing to me. I started thinking about perhaps writing a book that was nothing but large, big urban rivers. But that would force me to get out of Michigan, which has been my comfort zone mm-hmm. on every one of the books except one on Wisconsin. So I looked around the Midwest, and I thought, wouldn't it be neat to tie in a trip down these big rivers that major Midwest cities evolved from, that also had a baseball park right along the water.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you look at the book cover of Paddling and Pastimes, you'll see it was taken from me kayaking down the Allegheny River underneath the beautiful golden Sixth Street Bridge, also known as the Roberto Clemente Bridge, right alongside PNC Park, home
sure.
of pirates.
A legendary pirate.
Yes.
I remember kayaking up the Chicago River about 10 years ago, and I loved it. Don't get me wrong, but urban paddling can be a profoundly different experience. What would you consider the rewards of kayaking a river in a big city?
I think if you have a fascination for history and architecture, you will love going down these big rivers. As an example, the Chicago River you're just speaking about, right near what they call Wolf's Point, where all three branches come together, the mid-stem that takes you out to Lake Michigan, then the north and the south.
Right.
Just south of there, you have the tallest occupied building in North America, the Willis Tower, the old Sears Tower. And you're paddling past a structure that's 1,450 feet high. And if your eyes are really good, you can see the glass plank that sticks out from
the
floors at 1,353 feet, which just thinking about it gives me a little bit of vertigo. And as you go further down the South Branch, you're passing along where Mrs. O'Leary's cow acted up in 1871. Oh, we also on the South Branch went past where a building called the Wigwam was, and that's where the Young Republican National Party nominated Abe Lincoln for president. So there's so much of the history as you're going down these rivers.
Now, when you were in Chicago, though, which ballpark did you profile?
Did you go
to both?
We had,
okay.
Yeah, we had, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
that was an easy decision.
South side, north side.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And as we took tours on every one of these ballparks, so we could gain more information on the parks and share them with the readers. And we had tour guides. I found that every Major League Baseball park in the country has both private and public tours of their stadium. And you want to go ideally when the team's not there, because you can get on the field, you can get in the press box. Oh, and the views from the press box are just unbelievable. But you hear stories. And one of the stories we heard was when the Chicago Cubs last won a World Series in 1908, the heavens parted, and the Lord said to the Cubs, "Don't do anything until I get back." That's
beautiful.
That's just beautiful.
What about the Detroit River here? Let's return to Michigan. Why should a Michigan kayaker consider the Detroit River as a destination?
Well, something that I didn't even know existed was found off the Detroit River. We launched at a place called Maharis Gentry Park on the east side, and we went against the current up towards Lake St. Clair. They have historic east side canals that run off of the river. And one of these canals is called Little Venice, where instead of homes that are across the street from each other being divided by 30 feet of concrete, they're divided by 30 feet of a river. And you actually feel like you are in Venice. Mm. And some of the homes we passed by in Little Venice were purchased by the organized crime group, the Purple Gang, during Prohibition. And you can pass by these homes where they built lookout towers on top of the homes to give them a better view of the police boats that were coming. And they were coming.
How interesting.
Yeah, 80% of all the illegal alcohol came in the United States during Prohibition across the Detroit River or adjacent Lake St. Clair River. Just absolutely fascinating.
I'll tell you, you've got a history professor inside of you just yes. waiting to break out.
Absolutely.
Now, I understand Pittsburgh was in a special, you've already mentioned it once, but the Allegheny and Pittsburgh, the city, and the river, I take it as well, has experienced a really dramatic turnaround over the years.
Turnaround in many ways, but the health of the river and the health of the city has just, in fact, all six of these rivers were very sick bodies of water up until the 1970s, 1980s. Pittsburgh, as an example, as recently as the 1950s, all three of their rivers, there was only one species of fish that was strong enough to survive, the bluegill. One. Today, 53 species of fish survive.
Wow.
There's been cooperative efforts on all six of these rivers of volunteers, government agencies, and businesses to work together to help make better decisions on how they interact with the rivers they're on. The Chicago River. As recently as the 1980s, if you were paddling down the Chicago River and fell into the water, you were immediately taken to emergency.
Oh, my gosh.
And today, you can see the increase in the number of species of fish, species of birds and insects are just proliferating on Chicago River, the Cuyahoga River, the Detroit River, Milwaukee River. It's fabulous. It's just very, very exciting what's happening in these waterways.
Michigan kayaker author Doc Fletcher is our guest. He's written many books about his kayaking experiences, mainly in Michigan, but his latest is called Paddling and Pastimes, Six Midwest Cities, The Rivers That Made Them, The Baseball Teams That entertained them. Now, with the turnaround in the status of these rivers, is activity up? How much activity did you encounter on these various rivers?
It varied, but the Chicago River, we saw groups of 15 to 20 kayakers out on the waterway. Mm. The Detroit River, there is a business called Riverside Kayak Connection out of Wyandotte downriver, and they have six trips each year that take you to those east side canals, but they also have trips that take you around circumnavigation around Belle Isle. And there's groups, there's liveries that are out there that are taking advantage of the increased interest in people paddling these rivers. And they organize events, and as a result, you see a lot of these organized events, large groups of people, but you also see individual paddlers out there out on the water as people are understanding that the rivers are becoming cleaner and that there's great recreational opportunities that are now in front of them that didn't exist before. The Chicago River and Milwaukee River take you right out to Lake Michigan, and that's pretty fascinating paddle in and of itself.
Have you had enough of urban kayaking, though, now that the book is behind you and you're gonna kind of stay in more remote locations?
Well, yeah, a bit, including locally here. 2 months ago, I paddled the Red Cedar with my friends Nate and Paul at Rivertown Adventures. I believe we spoke last year.
They've been on our program.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, great guys. They do four cleanups of the Red Cedar every year. They get volunteers from MSU, and they do a wonderful job. But we paddle what they call the Spartan Nation that took us by the Kresge Arts Center, the Rock, the beautiful gift from the class of 1873. And also, as we were paddling through campus, I got such a kick out of seeing students on hammocks swinging back and forth right over the edge of the water. And we went through the rapids at the administration building. Just absolutely a fabulous trip. And anytime you can go by Spartan Stadium and Sparty itself is a great adventure.
You've written how many books on paddling?
Seven
now?
So far.
This is the seventh.
Yes.
The ballpark book.
Yep. Paddling and Pastimes is number seven.
Well, we recommend them all here if you have any interest in paddling in Michigan or the Midwest. We caught you today en route to Alma for an adventure. What's the occasion?
Yeah, down the Pine River. Now, this is not the pine most people think of that runs from Cadillac to Manistee, but it's a relatively small one. And the next book is Canoeing and Kayaking, College Campuses in Michigan. And the Pine River that's by Alma takes you by Alma College. And that's why we did the Red Cedar in April for the MSU. So 20 different rivers by 20 different colleges, the 2016 book. And all information on all these books at my website, CanoeingMichiganRivers.com.
CanoeingMichiganRivers.com. Doc Fletcher's latest is Six Midwest Cities, the rivers that made them, the baseball teams that entertained them. Have fun, Doc. Great
Thank
to
you,
see
Mark.
You.
Good to see you, too.